ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री विष्णु सहस्रनाम Name number 511, Jayaha.
Shri Vishnu Sahasranam, 511,
Jaya. Jaya is a common name in India up to the present time. Among Tamils also. And Jaya is better known as Jaya, who is with Vijaya as the Dwarapal, the gatekeeper of Vaikuntha. At the gates of Vaikuntha and at the gates of every Vishnu temple, which is a replica of Vaikuntha. But originally, it's a name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And as is well known, Jai means victory. Yeah, and Vijay also means victory, but it's just a little more forceful. So the commenting acharyas on this name give one meaning: he who is victorious. And another is that he who is conquered, he over whom others are victorious. So it's very easy to understand how the Supreme is victorious. But maybe not so easy to understand how he is conquered. How can, if he's supreme, then he shouldn't be conquered? Maybe when he was asleep. But when he's asleep, he's also conscious. Maybe he wasn't attentive. But he's always attentive. Good for us that he's always attentive. When we go into deep sleep, we can't remember anything. But he is there, fully conscious. And in due course of time, he revives us. How many times are you going to keep on moving this? Is it just okay? Leave it as it is now. So he who is victorious—it's an obvious facet of the Supreme Lord. If he was just some pipsqueak, then why would he be God? Pipsqueak means an insignificant person. Of course, everyone in this material world is insignificant. It might be a politically dangerous thing to say, but even Jayalalitha, who, as we all know, just passed away, she's also insignificant. If we think of eternal time, our whole lifespan is just one blip. And to be the chief minister time to time, sometimes it was her, sometimes it was Karunanidhi, of tiny little, if we see the whole universe, this Tamil Nadu is very, 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 you can go on saying very many times, small. I didn't say Jayalalitha in the last sentence. You've said it twice now. So, you should translate what I say. Oh, I see. You're still translating the sentence before that. Yeah. Okay. You translate two sentences behind, is it? Okay. Then you can imagine if the queen of among the ants, there's one ant hill, and the queen dies. Among the ants, it's a big disaster. Humans, they don't care. So in the same way, one chief minister of the state passes away. See, even if you go to the next state, they won't care at all. Maybe in Karnataka, they. But if you go to UP, who cares? They have no care whatsoever. So everyone is very insignificant in relationship to Krishna. It's not that he was victorious only 5,000 years ago, but he's victorious now also. He comes and plays his pastimes in this world of defeating various demons. From time to time, the demigods call him, "Oh, we're afraid, you better come and save us again." But actually, even the most terrific demon, such as Hiranyakashipu, it's very easy for Krishna to kill them all. He doesn't even have to fight with them. Just by his desire, they can be killed. He kills them just, he comes personally to kill them just out of his pleasure pastime, his desire to enjoy, that's all. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, just like a king, he may keep some wrestler to fight with. That's just for the king's pleasure. But if he wants, he can just any time he can say, okay, take that wrestler away, cut off his head. So the wrestler is not nearly as physically, he might be as powerful, but he can't actually conquer the king. But the king, because he wants to have some pleasure in fighting, he keeps a wrestler to fight with. So Krishna is always victorious. Jayastu pandu putranam yesham pakshe janadana. And whoever's with Krishna, they must be victorious. The Pandavas, they must have been victorious because Janardana, Krishna, was on their side. So Krishna is always victorious. If he's actually defeated by anyone, then how can he be God? If someone's stronger than him, then how can he be supreme? It's not possible. We find in the Leelas that so many times the demons, they'll attack Krishna and say that now you will be dead. Now you cannot live any longer. The demons actually thought that they could kill him. It's not possible. So he's always victorious. But another meaning of the name Jaya is that he's also conquered. But that he conquered, he's conquered by love. He agrees to become subordinate to his devotees. In Krishna, he takes the cows out with his boy friends. And just as we see young boys, they have the tendency to fight. Is it? So Krishna with his boyfriends, they would fight as a sport. In the groves of Vrindavan. So if every time Krishna won, there'd be no fun, would there? If you already know that Krishna is going to win every time, then there's no fun in fighting. Generally, they'd make two teams and they'd fight with each other. So then they'd have the two strongest would go in, would be the leaders of the two teams. So each time the leaders of the team would be, one was Krishna, one was Balaram. So sometimes Krishna won in the fight and sometimes he was defeated also. So the cowherd boys, they thought, well, Krishna's one of us. He's strong, but we're also strong. That's why when Krishna was showing his superhuman prowess, the cowherd boys thought, well, we can also do that. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan, some of the cowherd boys said, you've been holding it for a long time now, you must be tired, so one of us can do it. We'll take over from you. Because they thought, if he can do it, we can do it. We fight with Krishna every day. He's strong, but you know, we're strong too. So Krishna is always conquered by the love of his devotees. There's a story of Prahlad Maharaj. Not a very well-known story. That once he was out in his kingdom, he was wondering, as the king should go out sometimes to see what is the condition of the kingdom. And he came across one man who challenged him. So he had to fight. And the fight went on day after day after day. One morning, Prahlad was doing his morning puja, and he saw that the form of the Lord, who he's offering to, it's the same, it's that fighter. He realized, it's actually Narayan is fighting with me. So, that morning he met that fighter for the fight, and he fell down and said, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you. He said, I made a great offense, I tried to conquer over you. And Narayan said to him, I'm always conquered by you. So the Lord is always under the control of his devotees. His one quality of bhaktavasya. He's subdued by his devotees. There are so many instances that he by who his potency, he binds everyone in this world. He is bound by the love of Mother Yashoda. She ties him up with ropes. The baby Krishna, who is the creator, maintainer and destroyer of millions of universes, the older gopis are clapping their hands and singing, and he's dancing like a puppet doll. Satyabhama is henpecking Krishna. That you gave that nice flower to Rukmini. What about me? So Krishna had to go to the heavenly world on the order of his, or being harassed by his wife, and he brought the whole Parijata tree. He had to defeat Indra and humiliate Indra so that he could fulfill the desire of his second wife. So there are so many examples of how Krishna, he likes to take a subordinate position out of love. Although he is the Supreme Lord, he places himself as the servant of his devotees. As Rama, he is very obedient to the order of his father. He himself states, Agyapyo ham tapasvinam. I am at the order. I'm at the disposal. I'm waiting for the order of the tapasvis, the sages. So he controls everything, everyone, everywhere. At all times, in all circumstances, but still he likes to be conquered by his devotee. So his name Jaya means he's victorious. But then, that's the meaning of him as being God. He's victorious. But from the other aspect, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His own personal preference is to be conquered by his devotees. So the name previous to this is Vinaya. Which means humble, he's humble. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning of that name. That the members of the Yadu dynasty humbly serve him. And he reciprocates by humbly serving them. So for this name Jaya, Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning. That by the affection of the Yadus, they have defeated and controlled him. He goes to so much trouble for them, makes a special fort for them within the sea. So he's the protector of the Yadus because he's always victorious. But, yeah. But the very fact that he protects them means he's always subordinate to them. His life is to a large extent dictated by their needs. We see in the material world, a king may be very powerful. But he depends on the citizens also. If he didn't have any citizens, then he wouldn't have anyone to be powerful over, and then he wouldn't have any power. So Krishna, he's not dependent on anyone. But he expands himself, eko baho syam. He is the one who expands himself into many for the sake of enjoying pastimes. And in doing so, he acts as if he is dependent on others. By his... In one sense, he is not dependent on anyone. In another sense, he is. Because he chooses to be himself. So the next name is Satya Sandhya, Sandha, which is the same as Satya Sankalpa, is another well-known name. Means he whose promises are always true. And it means he who is of firm resolve. So, there's a quotation here from Ramayana. He says, Rama says to Sita, I would rather give up my life, or even you and Lakshman, than break my promise. Lakshman. Sita is Lakshmi. Especially that promise which has been made to the Brahmanas. So those were the Brahmanas who were the real Brahmanas. Nowadays, we're not sure, always. So, Krishna's promise is always true. If he says something, it's got to be. Specifically, he states in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya prachijani hi name bhaktya pranashyati, says that my promise is that my devotee will never be destroyed. So that's his most important promise. Now, we have to be careful about making promises. If we make too many promises, we may find it difficult to fulfill them all. If you try to satisfy everyone, you may find that what one person wants, someone else doesn't want. The king has to satisfy his citizens, but it's difficult to satisfy everyone according to their own individual desire or demand. Just like, for instance, if there's no king in India now, but Say if the Prime Minister got involved in the Kaveri water dispute, for instance. If you give to the Karnatakas what they want, then the Tamil people will be upset. If you give to the Tamil people what they want, then the Karnatakas will be upset. And if you say, okay, let's see how many people on one side, how many on the other, try and divide it properly, still they won't be satisfied. Because for the farmers, if you don't give enough, if you give some water but not enough, then they can't grow their crops. So it's almost the same as not giving any water. So what's the solution? Chant Hare Krishna and stop killing the animals, and then there'll be enough rain for everyone. And stop damming all the rivers. These are holy rivers. Why should they try and dam them all? Anyway, the point is, if you say that, just like the politician may say, we promise this, we promise this. But the politician on the other side will say, no, we promise this to you. But they can't both fulfill their promise. So what's the solution? Just go to the spiritual world. In the material world, there's always going to be problems like this. In the material world, no one is ever satisfied. So Krishna, he's very intelligent, obviously. And he's also knows when to promise, who to promise to. He promised to Kunti that your five sons, they will come back. Day after day, so many warriors were killed, one after the other. Arjuna made it very difficult for Krishna when he promised to kill the next day Jayadratha, or he himself would die. Krishna said to Arjuna, what kind of promise is that? So you should be careful before you make any promise. And because Krishna promised to keep Arjuna alive. So Krishna, to fulfill the promise of keeping Arjuna alive, he had to play some tricks with the sun. He made it look like the sun had set, so everyone thought, okay, the day's over, now Arjuna has to fulfill his promise and die. Because Jayadratha had not been killed. So everyone, all the fighting stopped, but Krishna said to Arjuna, go on, I'm went on pulling the chariot towards Jayadratha. They said, look again, the sun hasn't set. You're looking up to the sun and see these lights which don't need to be on. So Krishna fulfills his promise, even sometimes he has to do extraordinary things to do so. There's a quotation here from Krishna. The heavens might collapse. The heavenly planets, they may fall down. They may fall down out of their orbit. The earth might crash and tumble down. The Himalayas might all get crushed. The ocean might become dry. But my word, once I've given my word, that will not go in vain. It will become true, whatever I say. So we can't imagine that the heavens will fall down from the sky. We can't imagine any of these things. So in the same way, we should have the faith that Krishna's promise, that will, whatever he says is true. Which also means that his words, as he spoke in Bhagavad Gita, they're all true. We should have full faith in that. So Krishna says, my devotee will never be vanquished. But then we shouldn't think, okay, so I can do whatever I like. But we shouldn't think like that. We shouldn't think, well, I'm a devotee, so Krishna will protect me. It's just like sometimes you ask devotees, they get in the car, you put on the seatbelt. They say, no, it's okay. I already chanted Namaste Narasimhaya. What does that mean? Does that mean that you should... Krishna will always protect me. Okay, so I'll drink for breakfast 2 liters of engine oil. Krishna will protect me. Do we have any doctors here? You don't need to be a doctor to know. If you drink 2 liters of engine oil, then if you're a prominent person, your name will be in the newspaper the next day, dead. That's not the preferred way of committing suicide in India. The preferred way is drinking the pesticide. That's the favorite way of committing suicide in this country. Now it may be that if you drink poison, a devotee, Krishna will protect him. Just like Prahlad was given poisoned food on Hiranyakashipu's order. But it doesn't mean that we should think, oh, well, Prahlad ate poison, so I'll eat poison. We shouldn't think, well, I'm a devotee. We should think... Means we can think, well, I'm trying to be a devotee. Krishna is not obliged to do what I say or to protect me. Now, there are so many instances of, talking about Prahlad, there are so many instances of Krishna fulfilling his word. Krishna appeared to protect Prahlad. When Hiranyakashipu mockingly asked Prahlad, "So your God is everywhere? Is he in this pillar?" Prahlad said yes. So Hiranyakashipu went to break the pillar and thought, of course there's no God in there. I'm just going to show what a fool this Prahlad is. But to fulfill the word of his devotee, Krishna appeared as the Narasimhadev form. Of course, the famous instance of Krishna breaking his word is also there. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, both Duryodhana and Arjuna came to Krishna. Whose side will he be on? It would have seemed obvious that he would be on the side of Arjuna and Yudhishthira. But Duryodhana, he was a great politician and he was shameless. So he went to ask Krishna that you come and be on my side. After everything that Krishna had done to show that he was the friend of the Pandavas, Duryodhana went to ask Krishna, "You come and be on my side." And it's not just, I mean, Krishna's famous as a great soldier, but he's also got a huge army. So Arjuna went, and they both arrived at the same time to ask Krishna. Yudhishthira sent Arjuna because Arjuna was, among all the Pandavas, he was very most close to Krishna. It was practically taken as a given that Krishna must be with the Pandavas, but still as a formality, he went to ask. So they both arrived and Duryodhana Krishna was sleeping. So Duryodhana went to the head of Krishna and Arjuna went to the, because he thought, yeah, we're on the same level, or actually I'm more than Krishna because I'm the king. And Arjuna went to the feet of Krishna because he thought, I'm coming to beg something from him, so I should take a very humble position. So Krishna woke up and he saw Arjuna, then he looked around and he saw Duryodhana. So he understood what they had come for. So then he asked them formally, "So what can I do for you?" And both of them said that, well, we want you to fight on our side in the upcoming battle. So Krishna said, well, you both came and asked me at the same time, so I should oblige you both. So I will personally fight on one side and I'll send my army on the other side. And Krishna, if he fights, it's more than millions and millions of soldiers. So, but Krishna said that, to balance that out, he said that, but whichever side I'm on, I won't personally fight, but I'll just be there to assist, that's all. So Krishna said, I saw Arjuna first, so I'll give him the choice. You want me or my army? And Arjuna said, I'll take you. And Duryodhana thought, he's such a sentimental fool. He's not going to fight, but just out of some sentimental friendship, he's going to have him there. But I've got a whole army of soldiers. So they were both satisfied. Arjuna was satisfied and Duryodhana was satisfied. So Krishna's promise was that he wouldn't fight during the battle. But then it... Anyway, you all know the story, I hope. Maybe you don't know the story because it's the year of the Lord, 2016, and people, they don't know anything about what they should know. So, as during the first section of this section of the battle, wherein Bhishma was leading the Kaurava forces. And at the end of the day, Duryodhana said to him, I'm not satisfied with you. Yeah. Out of affection for the Pandavas, you're not showing your full force. You can kill all the Pandavas, but you're deliberately not doing so. So Bhishma got all upset. And he said that tomorrow I will kill Arjuna, for sure. The only way that Arjuna can live tomorrow is if Krishna personally protects him. I can kill Arjuna and I will kill him. The only way that I won't kill him is if Krishna defends him. Because I can defeat Arjuna, but I can't defeat Krishna. So, you know the story, the fighting, and it became very intense, and Bhishma was gradually breaking down Arjuna's resolve. Bhishma was fighting with Arjuna. And he was fighting so seriously that it looked that Arjuna must die. And Krishna became very angry. So he jumped off the chariot which he was driving. And he picked up the nearest weapon he could find, which was a broken wheel of a chariot. And he went to attack Bhishma with that. So he, in this way, he gave up his promise. He said, I won't carry any weapon. I'll go on the battlefield, but I won't carry any weapon. So he broke his promise. Because he had another promise that he would protect his devotee. So he had to break one of the promises. That's what I'm saying. We should be very careful in making promises. If we say, I will do such and such a thing in the future, we don't know what's going to happen. Practically, we can't guarantee anything for the future. That's why if we say, in future, I will do such and such, God willing. Inshallah, the Muslims say, if Allah allows. But Krishna, he can't say that because he is God. So when he gives a promise, you should think, well, he should be able to fulfill it. But in his... Actually, this pastime of breaking his promise to pick up, he picked up the weapon, that was to underline, to emphasize his promise that my devotee will never be vanquished. By breaking one promise, he showed the importance of his main promise. That promise not to pick up a weapon, that was only for that time, for the duration of the battle. Tatkalika, for that time only. But his promise that my devotee will never be vanquished, which means I will always protect my devotee, that promise is for all time. So his promise that if anyone comes to shelter, him for shelter, he will give fearlessness. Sukhadeva Papanayas. If one even once says that now I take shelter of Rama, then Rama will protect him. Okay, any question about this? Yes, who has firm resolve also, that's a similar thing. If he wants something to happen, it will happen. Of course, he has his Ichha Shakti. Whatever he desires, that's fulfilled. But it's not that he's thinking, well, Well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. He knows. He's very clear in his thinking. Firm in his resolve. Yeah, any question? Say it again in the mic. I couldn't hear it anyway. I couldn't understand what he said.
Why devotees has to change others as devotees? What benefit they get from that?
I still didn't understand.
Why devotees, they try to preach others and make them devotees, and what is the benefit they get from that?
Okay, say it in Tamil. Do you like to see people suffer? If you see someone suffering and you can help them to come out of the suffering, shouldn't you do so? So devotees, they try to bring others to bhakti to relieve them from the suffering of being away from Krishna. We'll say it in Tamil.
When there is conflict between two devotees, Krishna is there in between, how he deals, and if there is a devotee on one side and some karmic or materialist on the other side, he deals in the same way or how he deals in these two different situations?
It's too general a question. You have to give some specific. There's no set formula for that. Krishna always acts for the ultimate benefit of everyone. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.